have a question for you this morning. A few questions, actually. Have you ever seen the show Unsolved Mysteries? Anyone seen that show? It started back in 1987. It ran until about 2002. And then they canceled it for a few years, and they brought it back in 2006. But basically, it's kind of a documentary format. And I'm not, you know, agreeing with the show or anything, but documentary format. And they go along and they reenact either unsolved crimes or missing persons events or some paranormal activity and that sort of thing. It's unsolved mysteries. Anyone ever seen that? Well, I did. I was born in the late 70s, and so that was kind of, we watched that from time to time. But some shows I connected with, others I didn't, especially the UFO ones. How about the game Clue, the board game Clue? Anybody ever played that? You know, the whole purpose is to, you know, go throughout the game and by deductive reasoning figure out who done it, right? Who committed the crime and what weapon they used and which room they were in. How about a mystery dinner? Anyone ever been to one of those mystery dinners where you dress up and you go to the dinner and you're given a bio and you're supposed to act out that part during the dinner? There's a mystery involved. There's a secret involved, right? But this morning I want to ask you this question as we jump into the message. Do you know the secret? Do you know the secret? It's a secret that for generations was kind of hidden. People didn't know what the secret was. In fact, our Bible is going to tell us for many, many centuries it hadn't been revealed yet. We can look through Scripture and we can go back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and they didn't know the secret. We can take David, for example. David in 1 Samuel 13 and again quoted in Acts 13, he's known as a man after God's own heart. And David didn't fully understand the secret. We can look at King Solomon, one of the wisest men. He didn't understand the secret. We can go to the New Testament. We can look at Peter and James and John. And at first they didn't understand the secret. We can look at some of the early church leaders, Barnabas, for example. And they didn't fully understand the secret. It wasn't until around 49 AD in Jerusalem when a bunch of the leaders got together for a council, a conference, that they finally began to understand the secret. So what is the secret? I mean, it's written about a lot throughout Scripture. 21 times Paul uses the phrase, he calls it a mystery. But 21 times in our Bible, Paul talks about the secret and he asks, do you understand the mystery of Christ? And I got to tell you, most of the times that he talks about the mystery, the secret, most of the places he mentions it, I just want to stop for a moment and say, okay, Paul, what are you talking about? You talk a lot about the mystery, a lot about the secret, but you don't fully explain it. Let me start with an example from Colossians chapter 1. We are continuing our series through Ephesians, but I want to start in Colossians chapter 1 this morning. Verse 25. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that's been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. And he talks about this mystery. And I just want to stop and say, Paul, what are you talking about? We can flip over to Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Again, Paul says, and pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Okay, so you're telling me something about this mystery, the secret, but what are you talking about? We could go to Romans chapter 11. Almost in the middle of the book. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And Paul shares these words. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. Talking about this mystery, kind of gives a hint there about the Gentiles. Go to Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Almost the very final words of Romans. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. And he closes, Paul closes the book of Romans telling us, I want you to know about the mystery of Christ. And yet he doesn't exactly tell us what it is. And I want to say, Paul, let us know what's going on. And not until we get to the book of Ephesians. In our passage today, we find probably the clearest presentation in all Scripture of what the mystery of Christ is really about. Verse 6, we'll focus on it a little bit later, explains exactly what the mystery is. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, join me as we read Ephesians chapter 3, the first 13 verses. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. And so in this passage, in Ephesians chapter 3, we find out what the mystery is all about. And today, as we look at this passage, I want to answer at least four questions about the mystery. I'm hoping that we can each walk away from our time together this morning and say, I understand, I know exactly what Paul is talking about. I know the secret. I understand the mystery. That's my goal. So the first question I want to answer is this: who was the original steward of the mystery? And we find out right away that the one who first learns about this mystery and can clearly articulate it seems to be the Apostle Paul. He's the one who learns first. We learn here it's him. Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. We learn in this passage, Paul is given the key to understanding what the mystery is. Paul's the one the secret is revealed to. Now imagine with me, if you will, in that moment, Paul could have had a pretty holier-than-thou attitude. I mean, imagine if you knew a secret. Think with me for a moment. Imagine if you knew a secret that nobody else knew. That God had told you a secret. He had told you some information that no one else knew. And Paul could say, well, he didn't tell this to the other disciples or apostles. He didn't tell this to the other religious leaders throughout history. They didn't know the secret, but God told me. Paul might even say, I know something you don't know. How many of you have said that or heard your kids say that? You've forgotten the last time you said that. You were a bit younger then. But I know something you don't know because God told me. Look how great I am because God has revealed to me the mystery. And yet, that's not the attitude that Paul has at all. Paul's attitude is quite opposite. He doesn't say, look at me, I'm someone great. Actually, he says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. In fact, if you recall last week's message, I mentioned there that in Acts 21, Paul was bringing this love offering from Ephesus to Jerusalem. And he's arrested there. He's accused of bringing a Greek, a non-Jew, into the temple inner court. It was a false accusation. It hadn't happened, but he was accused of that. And Acts 22 ends with Paul saying that the Jews and Gentiles are one. The Jews and Gentiles, they've got the same equal status before God. And because Paul says that, he is arrested, he's thrown into prison, and all kinds of things happen there. It's because Paul shares the mystery that he's thrown into prison. But he boasts, not because it's been revealed to him, but because he can suffer because of Jesus Christ. He calls himself a prisoner. He also calls himself a servant. This is the common word, the common Greek word for servant, doulos. He's a table waiter. And I love the phrase that follows that. He says, I am less than the least of God's people. This completely humble attitude. Literally, he says, I am the most least of all God's people. I am the less than the least of all God's people. He understands clearly that except with the exception of God's grace, he is nothing. Were it not for God's living through him, God's leading through him, God's grace alive and working in his life, Paul is nothing. Not only does he have this humble attitude, but he also understands, here's the reason that I've been chosen. My purpose, my goal is to preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ, to share this mystery with others. I'm the administrator, Paul understands, the steward of this mystery. And so Paul recognizes, my purpose is to share this secret with someone else, not to keep it hidden, not to guard this secret in the secretive sort of way, but to share that with others. Friends, isn't that the type of person God uses? God uses people, men and women, who are able and willing to share that message with others. People that understand, were it not for God's grace, that God lives through us. God works through us. And Paul understands this message clearly. He understands his purpose. So we find out Paul is the initial steward, but we also find out the answer to another question. What is the secret all about? What is the secret of the mystery? And if you're sharp, perhaps you've already caught it. We've been kind of delving into that in the previous weeks. But before we get into that, I need to give you a definition, first of all. Because he says, in reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. The mystery is. Hold that thought just a moment. We need to talk about this word, mystery. You see, in our English language, this word mystery oftentimes seems to communicate this unknowable information or unknown information. When we talk about a mystery, it's something unsolvable, perhaps. But that's not the context of this Greek word that Paul uses here. The word that he uses is mysterion. It's more similar to our word for secret. It's not that it can't be known, but it's that people don't know it until it's been revealed to them. Does that make sense? Sometimes mysteries truly are unsolvable. They're unknown, unknowable. We just don't know. But a secret is something that's known, it just hasn't been revealed yet. And that's the context of this word here. So God has this, he's had this secret plan since the beginning of time. He's had a purpose, a strategy, and yet he has waited to reveal that strategy until the proper time. It's not unknowable or unknown, but God is the one who's going to reveal it at the right time. So once again, something that can be known once it is revealed. Paul uses this word again 21 times. Understanding this mystery, this secret, is the key to understanding the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians is about this administration of this mystery. No clearer example other than the verse we're going to take a look at next. Verse 6. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So finally, Paul tells us clearly what the mystery is. The mystery is the fact that God has redeemed all people to himself. No longer just Israel. No longer is just Israel, but all people are included. Now make sure you get the point. Paul starts using and making up words again. He's been doing that throughout Ephesians, and he does it again here. Two of the words are used nowhere else in Scripture. One of them is used elsewhere, but only by Paul. So these are three Paul words. Heirs together with Israel. Heirs together is unique in our passage. Members together, a brand new word. Sharers together in the promise. So here's the mystery, friends. Here's the mystery to those that were reading this letter. No longer just the Jews, but all people can come to God through Jesus Christ. They can be redeemed. They can be restored. They can have a relationship, a give-and-take relationship with God. They can be members of God's body, sharers together with Israel, sharers in the eternal promise. People can come. They can now approach God. Now, it was known in the past, the Jews were God's holy nation. They were God's holy people. They were the special kids on the playground. God favored them. God's chosen ones. But now because of Christ, now because of Jesus, all people can come to the throne of God. Paul tells us because of Christ Jesus, we can all be sharers together in the promises of God. That's great news. And it's great news not just for the Jews, but also the Gentiles. We learn about this initial steward, that's Paul. We learn about the secret that all people can come to know to God through Christ Jesus. We also learn here who has the responsibility to share the message, the mystery. Well, initially it was Paul. But notice here in verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here we see this unbelievable statement about the church, and I want to give it some context. He says, through the church, I'm going to make this known. I'm going to use the church to convey this secret. But friends, it's something that even the angels didn't even know about. We could go back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and 15, and God comes to Abraham and says, you're going to have a son. A few chapters later in chapter 22, He instructs Abraham to take his son, his only son, this promised son, up on the mountain and to sacrifice him. And at the last moment, the angel of God comes and stops him. And tells him, now because your faith has changed the situation. That angel didn't know at that moment what was going on. He didn't know that that was a picture of the Redeemer who was to come centuries later. We have an angel coming to Zechariah, prophesying about John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, you're going to have a son. That angel didn't know exactly what the overwhelming purpose was. We have an angel going to him telling Mary in Luke 1 and Joseph in Matthew 1, you're going to have a child. You're going to name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. That angel didn't know exactly what all was going on. Matthew 28, we've got an angel standing by the empty tomb, and yet they didn't understand what was going on. Paul writes here in Ephesians chapter 3, even the angels didn't know what was going on. And we learn that the church is given this responsibility to share this mystery with others. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose. Through the church, He's going to accomplish this. We know God's eternal, timeless plan. And really, here's what this passage tells us about the church. It's through the mirror of the church that even the angels see. Through the mirror of the church, the angels of heaven and other spiritual beings see the full spectrum of God's wisdom. We've been given this key to unlocking the secret, understanding the mystery, and now it's the church's responsibility to share that with others. Jesus came to redeem all people to God. So here's the mystery, if you didn't catch it. Because of Jesus Christ, all people can come to Him. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your lineage. It doesn't matter your economic status, your heritage, your former way of life. All people can come to God through Jesus Christ. His intent is that through the church it be made known. Friends, that's a big responsibility for the church today. We've heard it said perhaps we're one generation away from extinction, you know? If the church today does not carry on sharing that mystery, that secret with others, the church is given a secret, a mystery. Listen to these words from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. It was revealed to them, the prophets, that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you. In other words, you've been given the key to the mystery. Well, look at this next phrase. Even angels long to look into these things. The angels look down, they're amazed. God has given the church the responsibility to spreading the news, the gospel message, revealing the manifold wisdom of God to all people. So it was first given to Paul, now it's given to the church to spread this gospel message. So we understand who the initial steward was. It was Paul. We understand what the secret is all about. We understand it's our responsibility to share the secret. But I want to tackle one more question. What is the end result of the mystery? We know who initially understood it. We know what it's about. We know it's our responsibility. But what's the result? Verse 12. In Him, that's Christ, in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Here's the end of the mystery. It's simply this, that in Christ, through Christ, every single person can approach God, and not just approach God. I hope you caught it. They can approach Him with freedom and confidence. And that's good news. I mentioned a moment ago, it's good news to the Gentiles. It's also good news to the Jews. If you were here last week, we looked at some signs and some road signs, and we talked about how the signs have changed. Signs that once told the Gentiles, stay out, keep out, you're not welcome, do not pass, were torn down. New signs were rebuilt that said, welcome, come in, all are welcome. The Gentiles could pass, they could join the Jews. They were seen as, understood as equal because of Jesus Christ. But besides good news for the Gentiles, it's good news for the Jews as well. Because the Jews, even though they could approach God, they couldn't approach God with freedom and confidence. Every single Jew had to go through all types of ceremony, kinds of ritual, and they still had to go through a priest before they could approach God. But now, because the mystery has been revealed, the secret has been shared, all people, the Jews, can approach God with freedom and confidence. I want to take you back to Isaiah chapter 6 briefly. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Isaiah is ushered into the throne room of God. Old Testament time period, okay? Ushered into the throne room of God. And the very first thing he does is he falls to his knees and he says, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Friends, Isaiah approached God, but not with freedom and confidence. Isaiah approached God with fear and trembling. And here in our passage, we learn that not only has this barrier between Gentile and God been removed, but also the way in which people, we, can approach God has been changed. We can approach God with freedom and confidence. And that's good news. Again, no matter what you're going on, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what background you have, your burden, your trial, no matter your sin, friends, no matter where you are on your journey, where you come from, you can approach God through Jesus Christ with freedom and confidence. Sometimes life throws us a curveball, but we've got a God there who can help. We can approach God and need not fear. We can approach God. Have you ever had a situation where perhaps you had the freedom to approach someone, but maybe not the confidence to do so? There was a guy I worked with in Mexico, co-worker, colleague. He was responsible to me, but he was an older Mexican gentleman, a very successful businessman, mid-50s. He had chosen to leave the business world and come work at a children's home. Believe me, it was not for the money. Great man, good, solid leader. But just due to some just differences and things that we didn't quite connect on, I had the freedom to approach him. Again, he was responsible to me. But I often thought long and hard because I didn't have the confidence of how that situation was going to go. I knew that dealing with him was going to be difficult. And sometimes, have you ever? Can you relate with me? Do you have a situation where you could approach someone freely, but you really considered it long and hard because dealing with that situation might be more difficult than the issue itself? Does that make sense? It's not that way with God. God's not like that. Scripture says we have the freedom and confidence, a God who loves us and will listen to us and will help us in our time of need. If you're a single mom, you have a God that you can approach, and you can approach Him confidently. If you're having health issues. You're struggling financially. You have a God who will listen to your pleas. He will not leave or forsake you. The Creator of the universe, with all the resources at His disposal, will listen to you. Maybe addictions, maybe marriage problems, just simply a lack of purpose in life. We have at our disposal the Creator, again, the Creator of the universe, who will listen to us and never leave us. The mystery of all ages is that because of Jesus Christ, all people can go before the Creator freely and confidently approach Him. Paul is this ambassador, he says. He's made me an ambassador for this. And then he goes on, he says, my responsibility is to tell all people, and mainly this, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known. It is the church's responsibility to go out, now become the proclaimers of this message. I just wonder again about this mystery and this secret. I asked this question at the beginning of the sermon. Do you know the secret? Do you understand the mystery? Do we understand its importance? Paul writes in verse 13, I ask you therefore, there's that word again, therefore, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Remember where Paul is writing this from? Paul's writing this from a Roman prison, and yet even as he's in that situation, he says, don't be concerned about me. In fact, if we were to take a look at the book of Philippians, and I'm going to paraphrase this briefly, it says, it's probably for the greater good. Even though I'm bound in these chains, it's given me the opportunity to write the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Because of my presence here, the entire Roman guard knows, and everybody else knows as well. You see, if he's sitting in this Roman prison and he writes this down for us, he says it's probably for the best. Paul was a busy man. He traveled about. And if he'd not been arrested, I don't know, maybe he wouldn't have ever slowed down and stopped to write this down for us. But whatever the case, Paul says, don't be concerned about me. It's for your glory. God is being preached and proclaimed. So great is this message. Don't be discouraged because of my sufferings. What would it be like if the church today, and the church, remember, is made up of us, each and every one of us as individuals. Well, what would it be like today if the church had that same attitude and understanding? Don't be worried about me. Don't be concerned about me. I may be going through this difficult situation, and I don't think we're bound in chains, friends. But what would things be like if we had this attitude that the most important thing is that we share this message, that we can approach God with confidence and freedom? We hold the keys. You've heard the explanation of, if you had the vaccine for an incurable disease, you'd tell the whole world, would you not? Friends, we hold the keys to the mystery. We know the secret. And this is a secret that we ought not keep to ourselves. Amen. My hope as we move forward here at Northeast Christian Church, as we move forward here in this community of Grand Junction, is that we find ways to share that secret with anyone and everyone that we possibly can. Leave no doubt. I'd throw in a great quote from Remember the Titans, but I'd probably botch it right now. But it's all about working together, building up one another, and leaving no doubt that Northeast Christian Church is a Bible-believing church. One that loves God's people. One that loves people who are not yet God's people as well. And one who is set on this mission of making disciples for Him. I hope that as we move forward, we carry that message forward.